Good morning. That was a bit squeaky, sorry. Good morning. It's good to see you here in church this morning, and welcome to those who are joining us online too. I'll hand over to Rosemary.
Sorry, start again. Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome. I'll just move on to Warm Spaces. Warm Spaces programme has now ended, and thanks to everyone who came along and who helped. We expect to run a similar programme once again next winter. We did have our first coffee morning last Saturday, which was enjoyed by everybody. I'm not sure when the next one's to be. So I think the intimations might be out of date. Right. The church walk, the next church walk takes place this afternoon, 14th, meeting at Charleston Estate with the usual coffee stop. Please meet in Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. Cycling club, the next cycling club outing, C4 outing, is Saturday the 20th of April. The route is Stirling, Doon and Kippen. Ooh, I'm exhausted reading that, I think. Please speak to Derek, 882190, for more information. And just to say that there are further intimations on the printed sheet available from a website or Facebook if you don't have a copy. And for those on Zoom, here's a look at the order of service. And apologies for the slight confusion there. Yeah. Thank you.
That's just to keep all of us on our toes, I think. It's good to be here in worship this morning. And thank you to everybody who was down the road in Limekilns and also taking part in the service last week. I've heard nothing but good reports, so thank you. The only thing that failed was the sound didn't seem to go out on the live stream, which we're investigating, but we think possibly something wasn't switched on, we don't know. So, let's worship God. Hymn number 478, Behold the Amazing Gift of Love. Dedicate our offering. Almighty God, accept the gifts we offer. We give of our time, talent, and money to your glory and praise. Our prayer is that our giving will further the work of your church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Rosemary, Rosemary is going to be leading us in our prayers today.
Thankfully, I have a prayer that I prepared earlier. Let us pray. Loving God, how thankful we are that you hear us when we call out to you. When troubles come, you give us strength. When our distress seems never-ending, you are our quiet centre. When injustice rages, you offer your peace. When nights seem endless, you still our frightened hearts. When we feel weak and lame, you raise us up to new life in you. You put gladness in our hearts, you give us a hope and a future. Loving God, we cannot always make sense of your purpose, but that does not mean you aren't at work. The way may be hidden, the path may appear dark, but sometimes when you seem far off, you are at your most near. Teach us, we pray, never to despair, however bleak it may seem. When injustice seems to be all around and peace far off, help us to hear your words of promise. Forgive us when our journey is not humble or faithful. Forgive us when we do not take heed of your words. Forgive us when we do not notice your presence. Forgive us when we don't recognise you working in our midst. Forgive us when we fail to give glory to your name. Forgive us, we pray, as we take a moment now to bring to you our own personal thoughts and confession. Loving God, come in our weakness and fill us with your renewing power as we join together in saying the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 417. Now the green blade riseth from the buried grave.
Thank you.
Last week in our joint service, we were looking at a story from Luke's Gospel that is very well known. It's the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And that very much is the introduction to the passage that we're going to read from Luke's Gospel today. It's a continuation of that story. Cleopas and another disciple had decided that they should make an early start in terms of leaving Jerusalem. There is no explanation given as to why they are on their way to Emmaus. They were perhaps motivated by fear. Having dealt with Jesus, would the authorities now go after his followers? Best to get out of Jerusalem before they too might be arrested. Or maybe they were the kind of folk who cope with loss by getting on with life. The road to Emmaus, the path to life without Jesus. The sooner they go, the better for themselves and for everyone else. Maybe it was a mixture of fear and the need to be doing something. By their own admission, they knew that the women had gone out early and had come back with stories about an empty tomb and meeting angels. They knew that some of the men had gone and seen the empty tomb, but they had not seen Jesus or angels. We know that actions speak louder than words. The departure from Jerusalem reveals what they think about the story of resurrection. The women's words appear as nonsense. The men only confirm that the grave is empty. The stranger on the road explains from Scripture that the Messiah must suffer and die. And then, as this stranger breaks bread with them in the evening and asks a blessing, their eyes are opened. They know that it is Jesus, and they rush back to Jerusalem to see that the words of the women are true. Not that they have met angels, but they've met with Jesus. They have a story to tell. They find that their story is not unique. They discover that Jesus has appeared to Simon. The shock of Jesus' arrest, the awful reality of his execution, the finality of his burial are as nothing compared to the confusion of resurrection. We can make a mistake in thinking that people of the past were simple rural folk who would find faith so much easier than ourselves. The truth is, these folk are far more grounded in the knowledge of life and death than we are. The fragility of life and the permanence of death are simply part of life for them. They're clearly struggling to come to terms with the impossibility of resurrection. It would be fair to say that in this moment, they just don't know what to believe. The Jesus they thought they knew is far more than their wildest dreams. Our reading from Luke's Gospel today begins as they are discussing Jesus' appearances to a variety of folk, from the women to Simon to Cleopas and his friend. I'd love to know what they were discussing. I'm sure that it was, what does it mean to trust God? What does it mean to follow Jesus? We're now going to read from the book of Psalms, and then that story from Luke's Gospel where Jesus appears again. Rob is going to read for us. And you'll notice when he starts to read the New Testament lesson, it's clearly connected into the previous reading from last week.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 4, verses 1 to 8. Trust in the Lord. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin when you are on your beds. Search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubt rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Amen, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
We're going to sing from Mission Praise, number 795, "You Laid Aside Your Majesty." Some popular sayings can be attributed to a particular individual. Others seem to have no specific origin. Some sayings are timeless in the truth they present. Some sayings accepted as true turn out to be merely a myth. Some sayings are time-limited. I went looking for the origin of the saying, "The camera never lies." The best that can be said is that this saying dates from somewhere around the middle of the 19th century, as portraiture began using the new technology of photography. Most of us will have heard this statement in the past, very often used when we are looking at a photograph of ourselves that is less than flattering, and we want to say, it doesn't really look much like me, and someone will say, the camera never lies. Of course, to say that the camera never lies was never more than a partial truth. From the very early days of photography, it was possible to manipulate images. What was true was that the camera could only photograph what was there. The camera did not lie, but the photographer could. Then, when we moved from film to digital photography, a whole new world of image manipulation grows. In our age, photographic evidence requires forensic examination. How many times do we hear in news broadcasts now that a photograph or video footage has been verified or has not been verified? Related to the camera never lies is the saying, seeing is believing. In direct contradiction, I came across a statement by Oswald Chambers that said, seeing is never believing. We interpret what we see in the light of what we believe. Oswald Chambers, who died in 1917, and I discovered this morning that he is buried in Egypt. He was an army chaplain at that time. Oswald Chambers seems to accurately describe the situation the disciples find themselves in post-resurrection. In our reading today, we have the disciples discussing their experience of meeting Jesus. The 11 and others who have not left Jerusalem are gathered together, and they are joined by Cleopas and his companion, and they're talking about the resurrection. Just before our reading today, there was the end of the passage from last week has a sense of excitement. They're discussing what they experienced. We begin today a reading that says, as they were discussing this, Jesus appears amongst them. Even in the middle of a conversation about resurrection, seeing is not believing. The physical reality of the world the disciples know does not allow for what they are experiencing in meeting Jesus and what they now see before their eyes. The reality of the cross obscures the possibility of resurrection. What they remember, what is then written down of this incident, is that they believed they were seeing a ghost. This resurrection appearance of Jesus seems quite strange, not just in the fact that the disciples struggle to believe as Jesus appears in the middle of that conversation. There is a fair bit in this story that mirrors what has just happened in the story of the road to Emmaus. For a second time, Jesus is recognized through something to eat. For a second time, Jesus explains what has happened by taking the disciples to the scriptures that they clearly believe in. This repetition would have been understood by the disciples present in that moment as confirmation of what they were struggling to believe being true. Luke presents this not just as the story, but it's also a literary device. Luke intends his readers to understand that resurrection is central to faith. Repetition in the ancient world was a way of emphasizing a point or an argument in a story. It says, this is really true. It's why we sometimes find things like when Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you. What he's really saying, it's the truth, and then this is what you have to believe. Jesus then invites his disciples to see and touch. He asks them to believe the evidence of their senses. This is about the real world. It says that first they didn't believe because they were afraid, and now they don't believe because of joy. The phrase that comes to mind is too good to be true. And so Jesus asks for something to eat. They give him a bit of broiled fish. And there's a wee bit in my mind that goes, surely the proof of resurrection cannot come down to something as mundane as eating leftovers. But this is what the disciples remember. These are the stories they told, that Jesus uses the ordinary for extraordinary purpose. The breaking of bread, the eating of fish, bringing the resurrection into the real world inhabited by the disciples. Now he can explain that what happened is no accident. Jesus was not the victim of circumstance. He was not the victim of earthly authority, nor was he the victim of the powers of evil. What is also striking in virtually all of the resurrection stories is that Jesus has almost infinite patience. Patience with the women when they struggle. Patience with the men when they don't believe. Patience with Cleopas and his friend to bring them back from Emmaus to Jerusalem. Patience with people discussing resurrection without believing it. Between Easter and Pentecost, all those stories of Jesus appearing to his disciples, we have plenty that we can identify with, the doubts and the fears, the impatience and the lack of faith, and the times when they choose the wrong path. What we find in Jesus is that his faith in his disciples is unwavering. He's there when they go off in the wrong direction. He's there when they refuse to believe the evidence before them. He is there to guide them and encourage them. In the history of the Christian faith and of the Christian church, we are certainly no better. We are certainly not any more faithful than those disciples, but nor are we worse than them or have less faith. Jesus has never given up on his disciples or the church that bears his name. God's love for this world is unwavering. Last week in a poem we heard that church is a verb. We need to remember that faith is very much a verb. We exercise our faith when we step out in faith with God, knowing Jesus will guide us and that the Holy Spirit will empower us. In those words of Oswald Chambers, seeing is never believing. We interpret what we see in the light of what we believe. Faith is confidence in God before you see God emerging. Therefore, the nature of faith is that it must be tried. Faith in our time is no easier than it was for those disciples. And Jesus is still there to reassure that resurrection is real. And we are those who greet Jesus in resurrection with many of the same fears and doubts. But Jesus is there as our reassurance, not just that he is there, but if we go the wrong way, he'll also be there, because he never leaves us, and he'll bring us back to where we should be. So seeing is never believing. We interpret what we see in the light of what we believe. Amen. We're singing again from Mission Praise, number 476, My Lord, What Love Is This? Is now going to lead us in our prayers for others.
In our prayer of intercession this morning, there is a response line following Lord in your mercy, and the line is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in this troubled and divided world, where fear runs so deep, hopes are so often dashed and dreams so often broken, we remember today the faith and the future you brought to so many, both through your coming and through your resurrection from the dead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, our world is waiting, hurting, longing, searching for hope, crying out for meaning, hungry for some reason to believe in the future. Come again in your living power and bring new life to all. We remember especially those places where there are real fears for people's safety, and for those places where people may have forgotten a time before fear. We pray for the people of Sydney this morning following the brutal attack in a shopping centre. We pray for families who have lost loved ones and for those who were injured, including a baby. We constantly think of the people of Gaza. We pray desperately as a new chapter unfolds that there will be no further escalation of war in the Middle East. And we pray to you, merciful Father, that they will find a route to ceasefire and to peace. We bring to you the ongoing conflict in Sudan, where the United Nations have stated that its people are facing a catastrophic hunger crisis after a year of civil war. We continue to remember the people of Ukraine and the people of Russia. For all who are suffering or afraid, we pray that you will be close to them and protect them. Help them all to come nearer to a place and a time without fear, pain and mourning, where there will be no more tears. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, be with our farmers and the farming families in our lives and communities beyond in this very wet and stormy spring so far. We pray for them as they work tirelessly to save newborn lambs and calves from perishing in the cold and wet. We bring to you the impossible situation for our arable farmers who can't get near to their fields for planting and have the distress of crops already sown being drowned. Be with them, Lord. Surround them with your love and bring them strength for these difficult times, with faith to keep on and to hold hope for the future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal Father, we ask for your healing power for those who are enduring pain and illness. We share the grief of people close to us who have recently lost loved ones. We bring to you quietly this morning the Hunter family. Bring them the comfort of your love. We know your everlasting light of love shines even in the darkest night. And we bring to you now all who we are remembering in our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, our pioneer and perfecter of faith, till we come at last with all whom we have loved to the joy and peace of your eternal presence through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We sing now the hymn 439, Look, Ye Saints, the Sight is Glorious. to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.